The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Kent Summers from AZ Central, Arizona Cardinal insider. He was at the Combine over the weekend. He is back in the Valley. He will Skype in with us coming up at 10:20 today. Watched the Academy Awards last night. Had a good weekend being a dad. I was wrestling dad all day. The thing is, when your son is the heavyweight, it means he goes last. And so you don't know. It's double elimination. It was for regionals. He made it all the way, fourth place, the youngest kid in his class, very proud dad. But wrestling, and I love the sport as I've gotten more into it. It is a day. Like, you guys are club basketball parents or club football, flag football, these 7-on-7 leagues. You do the club baseball, club softball, or club soccer stuff. If you guys have been in that space, and I've been in that space now for 20 years with my four kids, that's a deal, man. You've got to sit there in the bleachers, and you get caught up in watching the other kids, and your son or your daughter, they're out there competing. There are quite a few girls doing the wrestling thing. It was cool. And they're bad, man. I would not want to mess with them. So it was good. It was good. Saw a lot of the college basketball scene over the weekend. A lot of the combine. I did not sit there and watch it live. DVR'd it, sat back in my office late at night and went through it. The scouting combine, it's interesting on one hand to see a guy throw a football, but you can't cut him open and see what makes him tick. So as I've said, I like Josh Rosen a great deal, while a lot of people don't. And I think there's always that, well, he didn't make this throw great, or he didn't make that throw great. And you get caught up in what Mike Mayock says, which is fine. I value his opinion. But until you cut a guy open and you see, okay, this is what makes him tick. And I can give you the last few years of Cardinal picks and say, okay, was this guy someone that really had it going on from a ticker standpoint? Kim Dichie is at the top of the list, so you have to wonder about that. DJ Humphries, I think, is turning out to be a very good player. We'll just see down the road if he establishes himself into a star player. You can't miss on first-round picks. You know that. I know that. The takeaway of Kirk Cousins and Larry Fitzgerald showing up at an airport around Kirk Cousins, was that by happenstance? Was that scheduled? It cannot be happenstance. And, oh, hey, I just bumped into you. It just so happens that, yeah, I might get dealt from Washington. You know, we need a quarterback here in Arizona, and we just bump into each other. What a shock that would be. Eric, did you see that, the Cousins stuff with Fitz over the weekend?
Oh, yeah, I did. Absolutely.
Now, that cannot just be a happenstance.
Larry Fitzgerald knows how to create a buzz.
Sure.
Knows how to create a stir.
Sure.
Knows how to get people talking about whatever Fitz wants them to talk about.
Yep.
He can dictate it just through his social media, and he certainly did that over the weekend with Kirk Cousins.
I'd be fine with Kirk Cousins.
Of course.
I'd be fine with Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
No, you sound like you're over the top with him.
Yeah, I am. I mean,
Kirk Cousins is not Tom Brady.
No, but
he's not Ben Roethlisberger.
But Tom Brady is Tom Brady.
He's not Andrew Luck, even with a bad arm,
but
bad wing.
Kirk Cousins is a top 10 quarterback, I'd say.
Would I take Russell Wilson over Kirk Cousins? Yes. Would I take Jared Goff over Kirk Cousins? Be close, but yes. Would I take Jimmy Garoppolo over Kirk Cousins? Yes. Okay, that's within the division. Kirk Cousins would be exciting, but has Kirk Cousins established himself? Financially, he has. Has he played the system right?
Well, and speaking of systems, a lot's going to depend on what system the Cardinals are going to run. Does Kirk Cousins fit what the new staff has in place? Or, like they said during the press conference, are they going to sort of streamline their offense around whoever the quarterback is and their strengths?
But if you go with Kirk Cousins, then you can't spend the 15th overall pick on a quarterback. That would be absurd.
The Cardinals have other needs.
No, I know they have other needs.
Quarterback is the only thing they need. So,
but don't you want to build around a kid and take some lumps rather than Kirk Cousins being pretty good? Or do you think Kirk Cousins can be look, if you're going to go for a Super Bowl, to give Larry Fitzgerald the best chance, Because we always sit here every year and go through the this is Fitz's last year or not. We throw dirt on him. And all he ever does every year is almost lead the league or lead the league in receptions. So he just keeps playing. From his standpoint, do you see Larry Fitzgerald on his social saying, man, Sam Darnold looked great? No. Josh Rosen, no. Instead, you see a picture with him together in an airport on Instagram with Kirk Cousins, which is Larry Fitzgerald's way to me saying, get me a veteran quarterback. I don't want a kid.
Well, because Fitz wants to win, but Fitz also wants to get his numbers before he retires. And Kirk Cousins, I'm sure, gives him the best opportunity to get those numbers.
But do you have to get your quarterback based on Larry Fitzgerald?
No, of course not.
So that's my thing is, that's great that he ran into him at the airport. I'm sure Larry runs into lots of people at airports, but they're not named Kirk Cousins. So he puts Kirk Cousins' name up on his social with a picture of the two of them, and it immediately causes a stir. So if you're Steve Keim, how are you balancing the search for a quarterback based on what the star wide receiver wants? Because you cannot convince me that Larry Fitzgerald is just, yeah, go get me whoever. You know, the John Skeltons, Max Hall, Derek Anderson era cost Fitz hundreds of catches, probably. And so you look at these quarterbacks from the weekend, and free agency starts a week from today. So if the Cardinals are in a space where they bring Kirk Cousins here, then you take that 15th overall pick, and what direction do you go? I can't imagine them trading up. If Kirk Cousins goes to another destination, do you approach it the same way? Or is he clearly head and shoulders above the guys like Sam Bradford and Teddy Bridgewater and Josh McCown? Josh McCown, to me, is the guy that makes the most sense if they draft a quarterback at 15 or try to trade up. If they sign Josh McCown, to me, it's not a question of what they're going to do in the first round. You know, the other stories around the combine, we'll talk more as the show progresses today, some of the other highlights from the weekend. I loved watching Kobe Bryant last night for Dear Basketball and the Academy Award. We have, check it out, because I've had people said, I didn't even know that this was something that was going on. Here is the here's the trailer from Kobe Bryant's Academy Award winner. So this is what he made. This is what he put out. And this ends up winning an Academy Award last night. Now, there was a group of people on social media. I don't know how big a group it is. That just hated on Kobe Bryant from the minute that he won. And there's always going to be people that do not like Kobe Bryant. That's just how it is. Villains are out there to not be liked on the basketball court. What happened off the basketball court with Kobe Bryant in a hotel room in Colorado is where I think most of the hate came from. And I think if you look at this, just the trailer, I had not seen this. I had heard about it, but I had not seen it. Now I want to see it. I definitely want to see it. When Kobe Bryant would roll into an arena and walk on a basketball court against the Phoenix Suns, it was infinitely more interesting. There was infinitely more people leaning forward in their seats. Every game was sold out to boo Kobe Bryant here in Phoenix. Kobe Bryant made the Lakers-Suns rivalry what it was. You can't tell me that the Suns-Lakers rivalry today is any big deal. Lonzo Ball hasn't made that much of an impact. But you put Kobe out on the floor, and you have all these clips of him through the years. Yeah, to me, I would watch this. If I knew, I mean, I'd heard about it, but I didn't search it out. Now I will check it out. So that caught my eye over the weekend. It was a good weekend, too, on some other fronts. We'll get to those as the show progresses. But up next, Kent Summers will join us via Skype. AZ Central Cardinal Insider on all things around the Combine, the Cardinals, Kirk Cousins, and much more. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now let's take a deeper dive into the NFL Combine. Kent Summers was there in Indianapolis. He joins us now, AZ Central Sports, Arizona Cardinal Insider. Your biggest takeaway from the Combine as it in regards to the Arizona Cardinals, Kent?
Yeah, it's interesting. It has nothing to do with the actual Combine and testing of college players. My biggest takeaway is that they are interested in Kirk Cousins. You can't dismiss them. even though the word is Cousins wants 3 years, $90 million guaranteed, the Cardinals want to at least talk to him, and they'll be in play for him if Cousins wants to listen.
What has made this change in your thinking come full circle with Cousins and the Cardinals?
Well, obviously a desperate need at quarterback. And I don't think Cousins ever was out of the Cardinals' picture. I think they obviously have to answer some questions about how they would manage money and the salary cap if they're, you know, to be a major player for him at that level. But it, as with most things with the cap in the NFL, if you want a player bad enough, you can make it happen. You may suffer in other places, and it might limit them in what they can do in free agency and re-signing some of their own guys and the timing of all that. But they at least want to compete for him.
And Larry Fitzgerald showing up in the Atlanta airport, the little picture on Instagram that Kirk Cousins put up, was that a recruiting trip or was that just simple happenstance? It's got to be a recruiting trip. I've had fans ask that. What do you think?
I think they probably would have picked a better place than the airport in Atlanta. I think they just happened to cross paths. Now, maybe Fitz texted him and there was a, hey, I'm going to be at the airport at the same time, because, you know, anybody who follows Fitz on social media knows that he's been everywhere, you know, playing golf with Tiger Woods at the Olympics in New Zealand, at a Suns game, at Cameron Indoor Stadium, et cetera, et cetera. And Fitz anyway has the biggest contact list in the league. He's got everybody's number and everybody has his number. So I don't think it was a setup meeting, but maybe they knew each other would be sort of in the area.
Okay, so the interest in Kirk Cousins from the Cardinals end, from your view now coming back from the combine, is it that we still want to take a quarterback at number 15 and add somebody like Cousins, which to me doesn't seem plausible, versus getting a lesser name at quarterback, veteran, and having somebody come in with that 15th pick? Which scenario now makes more sense to you from what the Cardinals are doing?
Well, it makes more sense to me to go for a veteran quarterback who's going to cost you less money, unless you believe Kirk Cousins can transform the organization and can lead you to places, you know, that Jared Goff can, or a Jimmy Garoppolo or Russell Wilson, to name the NFC West quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I think more likely what will happen is Cousins will go somewhere else and the Cardinals will be fine with that. They'll go to a quarterback who has played but will be cheaper, maybe one of the Vikings cast-offs, Sam Bradford, Teddy Bridgewater, Case Keenum. Try and sign those guys to a shorter term deal, or at least deals they can get out of after a couple of years, and draft somebody, you know, maybe with that 15th pick, maybe move up. Maybe they like somebody they think they can get in the second round. But I think if they go that sort of cheaper alternative, they really have to draft someone. It's time. They haven't taken a quarterback higher than the fourth round since 2006.
Talking with Kent Summers, all things around the NFL Combine, AZ Central Sports, Arizona Cardinal Insider. If that 15th pick were to be selected today, from your view, who would that player be or group of players?
Really interesting question. I don't know how they value what right now looks to be like the sort of second-tier quarterback, a Lamar Jackson from Louisville, Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State. I thought Mike Mayock of NFL Network had some interesting things to say about Lamar Jackson, that he thinks he's you know, maybe the most dynamic player in the draft. But if you take him, you've got to be willing to change your offense and build that around him and around his skills, his running ability, his athleticism, et cetera. After that, they need help almost everywhere on offense. I think you could look for a receiver who could score touchdowns, who could play behind Fitz for a year or with Fitz for a year, and then maybe take over as a number one guy. I think you could look at an offensive lineman if they regard somebody that highly at that spot. I think it's a little soon for a tight end or and they obviously don't need running back. You can always use help at stuff like a pass rusher or the cornerback opposite of Patrick Peterson.
And to that end, we have heard quite a bit, and I'll get back to the draft in a second, the cornerback opposite Patrick Peterson. Tyrann Mathieu is going to be let go, right?
I'd be surprised if he wasn't, or at least he's going to have to agree to take a pay cut if he's going to stay. And Tyron's a pretty proud guy, and you know, if you follow him on social media, he's expressed some bewilderment, frustration. I don't know how you would describe it, but you know, saying, "Hey, when is anyone going to talk to me?" So I think they will at least come with them, or I would think, you know, say, "Hey, are you willing to accept this amount of money?" And it wouldn't surprise me if Tyron says, "No, if you don't want me, I'll move on," and that he moves on. I mean, sitting here today on a Monday, I would say that's the way it's going to go. But as we know, things can change quickly.
Before I let you go, let's go through the local players. You talked about a receiver opposite Larry Fitzgerald. Did Christian Kirk do enough to be considered a 15th pick? That seems high for him, but did he score well at the combine?
Yeah, he did really well. Showed all the athleticism that everybody knew he had. Ran well in the 40, sub 4.5, one of the fastest receivers, and you know, proven ability at big time level. And then he adds to the return game. I agree with you from what I read and hear. 15 seems a little high. Most people think he's a slot receiver, you know, and with Fitz, you wonder, okay, where does that fit in? You know, it gives you two slot guys. I mean, albeit completely different, but he's a playmaker and his return ability is attractive, but he did really well at the combine.
Okay, ASU players, Kalen Ballage scored. How did, and Mark Andrews too should be thrown there, not ASU, but another local player. Wrap up the rest of the local players and the ASU players at the combine.
Yeah, Kalen Ballage tested off the charts, which, you know, people who have watched him thought he would. You know, the question NFL teams are going to have, why hasn't that translated to more production on the field at Arizona State? His counterpart, DeMario Richard, running back, did not test all that well, a little bit slow in the 40, you know, some other stuff wasn't great. He's going to have to, I don't know, really convince some teams or a team's really going to have to fall in love with him to draft him. You know, Levi Wallace, the Tucson kid from Arizona, the cornerback who really came on, ran sort of a slow 40 time. That's not going to help him greatly. But Isaiah Oliver, who played at Brophy and at Colorado, tested really well, ran really well at the combine. So he's a guy that, you know, he could make a move as the draft approaches. But, you know, right now I think people have him slotted somewhere in the second to third rounds.
Appreciate the time and insight as always, Kent. Thanks.
You're welcome, Brad. Thank you.
Kent Summers, AZ Central Sports, Arizona Cardinal insider there for a couple of minutes. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So after tomorrow's show, Eric and I are going to hop on a plane. We're going to go to Vegas. We are going to actually stay at the South Point. And my plan is to see Jimmy Vaccaro and Brent Musburger in the sports book sometime this week. Do something with them for the Football AZ show. Also do a deep dive. We're working on a couple of other TV projects. A deep dive on gambling and sporting events and how it is coming to America. Well, you will be able to walk into, let's just say, a Suns game or a Coyotes game, or I don't know about the NFL and the Cardinals, but you'll be able to walk into an arena and there'll be a betting machine right there that you can just put the money in and make your bet and then go sit down and watch the Suns lose to Oklahoma City or whatever it is, whoever it is. And I would think baseball would be involved in this too. It will bring a whole new meaning to going to the ball game and the interest level in the ball game if you're able to walk in and bet. This is coming. I thought it was interesting last night during the Oscars how they had a commercial for MGM Resorts, and it was all about Las Vegas. It was all the marketing side of Las Vegas. And in that little spot was a big thing about the Golden Knights on the hockey side. Golden Knights are having a great year in hockey up in Vegas. I was talking with a business guy this morning on the way up here about the Suns and their building situation. He said, what do you think about the Suns in some of these cities? And do you think Robert is going to use these cities as leverage against Phoenix? Absolutely, he's going to. I saw last week where Seattle, their new business group that is going after the NHL, they had a quote about, we are going to pursue NBA, whether it's an, quote, existing franchise or an expansion franchise. Robert's just kind of sitting over there on the sideline right now, counting the money, and it's coming. And Las Vegas is coming, and it would be crazy, I think, on a business end for us to lose a team here in Phoenix, but you got to protect your borders. And I'm just telling you, this is a story, it's coming. I'm going to work on that while we're in Vegas. Also, we'll be at the Pac-12 tournament and the WAC tournament. GCU has got this first opportunity to go into the NCAAs. They need to run the table. Whoever wins the WAC tournament at the Orleans will be the team that goes into March Madness next week. We will be there. Their first game is Thursday at noon. We will be there for ASU's first game, which is Wednesday at noon against Colorado. If Arizona State wins that game, they would then meet the U of A on Thursday at noon. So at the exact same time in Las Vegas, 2.8 miles apart from one another, at T-Mobile Arena would be Arizona State against Arizona. And down the strip would be Dan Marley and Grand Canyon University at the exact same time playing against Kansas City, Missouri. The better story to me, 2 months ago I would have said absolutely the best story would be Arizona State basketball going in our state. Here's a team that had knocked off a team that now is a number one seed in Xavier, a number one seed in Kansas in all likelihood, and yet their standing to get even into the tournament is somewhat shaky, although I just can't see how the committee, they have these things this year called quadrants, quadrant one, quadrant two. You beat a top seed in Xavier, you beat a top seed in Kansas, and you don't make it into the tournament? You know, they had to beat Cal the other night, and they did. They lost at the buzzer against Stanford, but they lost that game at home. And so for Bobby Hurley, it's what do we have to do in Vegas in order to ensure that we make it all the way to March Madness? As I'm sitting here today, it's probably 50-50 if they lose to Colorado. If they lose that game, Eric, don't you think if they lose on Wednesday, that would mean that down the stretch they would have lost, what would it be? They lost to U of A. They got swept by the Oregon schools. They split. So they lost five of their last six of their last seven.
And the committee, Brad, is big on how have you played coming down the stretch.
Have you finished? Right.
I think that, like you said, their saving grace is their non-conference schedule was so good, and they went through that unscathed. But I don't think the Pac-12 is super strong.
No.
And they didn't have a winning record in Pac-12 play this year. And so, yeah, they have to. It's sort of like, I think in Vegas, that's sort of like an NCAA playing game for ASU.
Oh, I agree with you. If you beat Colorado and you lose to the U of A, that's nothing to hold over their head, right? They would have gone 0-3 against U of A this year. But if you lose to Colorado in an 8-9 game, which is the way the season ended, I just find it hard to believe that the committee, Eric, in this new setup would look at wins over Kansas and Xavier, two teams that are probably going to be number one seeds within regions, and say we're going to keep that team out.
Their KenPom rating is now 38th, so it's been sliding pretty consistently over the last few weeks. But you know, you win a couple games in Vegas and you pretty much cement that spot. But it's not going to be a real desirable location to go to, and they might be like that 8-9 in that 8-9 game or something like that.
I'll tell you where they're going to go.
Fun.
I'll tell you where they're going to go. If they win, they're going to go to Raleigh, North Carolina. Bobby Hurley
of
back
course.
At Duke.
Oh, yeah.
TV.
The committee loves doing things like that.
Yeah.
They love it.
And imagine a Bobby Hurley in an 8-9 against a one like Duke or North Carolina in the second round. Prime time. Are you kidding me? It's written all over it that they're going to go to Raleigh, from my view. You know, the thing with GCU on the other, and let me get to U of A first. So the U of A stuff, you know, Sean is continually just standing there thumbing his nose and saying, I'm right, you guys don't have anything on me. I still look at them and say they're not a team. They're a nice collection of players, but they're not a team. And that's why every single year they don't make it to the Final Four. And with this group, I'm just telling you, this is coming. When they get eliminated, not if, when they get eliminated in March Madness, there will be the group of people that will say, it's time to get somebody else here. We have nothing left in our cupboard because everybody is leaving. I thought it was over the top to introduce Raleigh Alkins and DeAndre Ayton on Saturday, but it's their program. It's how they operate. They do their thing. I've talked to people at the Pac-12 tournament through the years that say U of A has their own set of rules in terms of who talks, locker room, and all that stuff in Vegas. They just walk in and say, yeah, screw you guys. This is how we do business. You know, we're this. Well, let's just see. So U of A awaits the 8-9 winner. Are they going to have an extended run? I'm excited to be there. Columbus Meats is partnering with us once again. So we appreciate Columbus saying, we believe in what you are doing. We want to support you as we are self-funded. They are our title sponsor, so thanks to them. We are going to Vegas to do our show this week, and we'll have lots of interesting angles around it. Again, we'll do it from the sports book at the South Point with Jimmy Vaccaro and Brent Musburger. The WAC tournament, so Grand Canyon, for Dan Marley, they play Kansas City, Missouri at noon on Thursday. I don't know anything about Kansas City, Missouri, other than I don't think they're very good. That's all that I know. I can't sit here and give you a breakdown of WAC basketball, but what I can do is I can bring you guests, which we will up there, that can give you a breakdown of WAC basketball, A. B, I can give you the, if GCU wins the WAC tournament, they will be going to March Madness. If GCU doesn't win the WAC tournament, they are not going to March Madness. This one is really simple. It's either one or the other. And lately, they've shot the ball better. I watched them the other night. They shot the ball better. Doesn't mean they're going to win. Be interested to see if Dan's team rallies and responds. They played better here as of late. I do think there is something to the whole idea of how does a team react as the season progresses and down the stretch. Sometimes, I'm not saying this is the case, but sometimes teams just say, I'm done. I'm mentally exhausted with this sport. I'm mentally exhausted with this coach. The message isn't getting through. I am not saying that is the case with Dan Marley or Bobby Hurley. What I am saying is on both those cases, and even with U of A, it wouldn't surprise me in the least to see U of A completely stub their toe, just mentally run out of gas because of all the stuff that's been thrown at them this year. Wouldn't surprise me. The other side is it's a galvanizing force. It's bringing the team closer together and all that nonsense.
Do you not believe in any of that when it comes to U of A? Because I watched their game on Thursday, the first game that Miller was back, and Matt Muehlbach, who comes on this show quite a bit, said, this could be the perfect storm for U of A playing with a chip on their shoulder, if you're into that. Because now Sean Miller can say, you know what? It's this locker room against the world. We have all these naysayers, all these media reports, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I sort of tend to agree with him. But as we've learned and seen so many times, Brad, it only takes one bad half of basketball in the NCAA tournament, even like a 10-minute stretch, and you're out.
Okay. Would you agree with me that Raleigh Alkins and Alonzo – let me back. I shouldn't throw Alkins in there. Would you agree with me that Alonzo Trier has done nothing more but than to try to pad his NCAA or his NBA demo tape this year?
Yes.
He's been padding his demo tape. That's what he's done. It's fact. DeAndre Ayton, do you think that there's some people in DeAndre Ayton's circle that are starting to point out to him, in Las Vegas, there's going to be a lot of NBA people. So you've got to show what it is that you're all about. Same thing with Alonzo Trier. Same thing with Raleigh Alkins. Same thing with Dusan Rustic. Okay, all these players are fine individual players. But as the stage gets bigger, I think what I've seen out of U of A is every year, nice, great collection of individuals who never play together as a team because they're all looking at the next level. That's what I've seen, and I have people can't refute me on that. You've had zero success getting the Final Four. Getting to the Elite Eight, when you tell everybody how great your program is, doesn't cut it. It just doesn't. Could it be a galvanizing force? I like Matt Muehlbach, Eric. I do. But where did he graduate from? Where did he go to school? Where is it that he is? It's like Steve Kerr last week saying, I love my school. I'm going to support my school. I can't objectively, and that's, it was a different time with Steve Kerr and Matt Muehlbach. They were Lute Olson guys. There wasn't this whole, I got to get to the next level. Sure, I guess you could go down that path. It's an easy media path. I'll tell you right now, as you and I are going to Vegas, we're going to be told, as they sit down, only questions about on the court. We're going to be told that. Well, no, that's not how it works. You may want to try to control the whole environment. That's not how it works. But I'm telling you that's going to be happening.
And they're going to get that when wherever they go in March Madness.
And they should.
The NCAA.
And they
got to
answer the questions.
They're going to have to answer the question at some point.
No, we're not taking any questions. We will walk off the podium. We will this. We will that. There's not going to be open access to pull players. There's not going to be that.
Even after the game on Thursday at Miller's press conference, he basically said, like, I've pretty much addressed what I addressed this morning. I'm not really going to go into any more detail.
Of course. Of course. No. You know, I think in Dan Marley's case, is his team, is Dan feeling a level of angst because he's been there through the last 5 years, I believe it is, with the buildup to this, which is we're going to get to the NCAA tournament in year number one. And this year they've had an uneven season. I don't think there's any other way to put it. I'm not pointing a finger at Dan. It's just a fact. Is it these kids have all been hearing about, well, this is the year you're going to March Madness. It's not that simple. So I'm really looking forward to being in Vegas. We'll do shows up there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We'll be up there tomorrow, cover some stuff after the show here. We'll fly on up, do our thing. And again, thanks to Columbus Craft Meats. Okay, on the other side, so the Diamondbacks, while we've been on the air, have announced what they're going to have in the way of new food. You know, guys, where I'm at on this, but you have to make fun of it somewhat, and we will next. Right, a couple other things before we get out of here today. ASU just sent out a note that Trey Holder was named first team all conference. That's cool. And let me see what else. And Shannon Evans gets honorable mention. So congratulations to them. And we'll have much more on both ASU, U of A, and also Grand Canyon, of course, will be live in Las Vegas starting tomorrow on the ground with our social side. And then our show will be live on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, courtesy of our friends at Columbus Craft Meats. Appreciate them and their support. So the Diamondbacks today, again, this is while we're on the air. They announced their new food items. Those of us that just want to see the team win on the field, we get it. We're the minority. A lot of people want to go to the ballpark just to get away, and they all want food. We're in a world of foodies. You know, people want their food. So we have some pictures here. This is new. If you're going to the ballpark and you want to see Paul Goldschmidt hit the ball a long ways, or if Steven Souza can replace JD Martinez, I think you'll have that opportunity. But more importantly, you're going to have the shot of the asada dog. Here's the asada dog. This is an 18-inch hot dog topped with fries, queso, carne asada, pico de gallo, guacamole on a hot dog bun, section 126, which means I don't have to walk that far. Eric, where are we at on the and Jared, is this a thumbs up, thumbs down? If you're at a baseball game.
It looks great. Honestly, it's something you could definitely share.
An asada dog. What do you mean share? What are you talking about? We don't share.
It's 18 inches. That's like the equivalent of what, three hot dogs?
Pico de gallo, carne asada.
That's something you buy in the first inning and finish by like the fifth inning.
All right. So then they have the steak and ale tots. So these are tots that are topped with fries, queso blanco. No, I'm sorry. With Four Peaks Kilt Lifter cheese sauce, shaved Philly ribeye, onions, mushrooms, chive sour cream. This is in section 130.
I'll take one of those two, please.
You're going to do the asada dog and the steak and ale tots.
Yeah, I guess one
together.
Or the other.
You'd be done. You'd be legs up. Now, that doesn't look half bad. I'm interested in these tots with the Four Peaks Kilt Lifter cheese sauce. How much Four Peaks cheese sauce do we have here? How much Kilt Lifter is in this? I mean, there's nights where the team's going to get drilled 9-0, and I want to make sure that I'm feeling no pain having my steak and ale tots. All right, let's go over to the next one. Fried chicken bon. Okay, they call this a fried chicken bon. This is a crispy chicken filet, pickled dalian and carrots, cucumber, garlic, cilantro on a local hoagie roll. This is at section 130. I'm not so sure about this one. It doesn't look big enough. I mean, if I'm going to go and die at the ballpark, I need a 10-pound heart attack.
Well, compared to the first two photos that we showed.
The fried, this is the pickle. Some of the stuff I don't know
looks
how to good. Pronounce.
Looks good.
You're a food guy. It's a pickled dalian?
Yeah, I don't know.
cucumber, garlic, cilantro, aioli?
Yeah. That's like a mayonnaise-based sauce.
Okay. It's like a mayonnaise. We just say mayonnaise. Just say it's fancy mayonnaise.
That's what aioli is.
Don't it's leave me high and dry mayonnaise. Here on this one.
But aioli has such a better sound to it when you're describing the food.
Hey, does this have aioli in it? Of course it does. Wait, there goes a home run. But my aioli is really good. The curd and Q burger. So this is a chuck patty on a bed of crisp slaw, topped with barbecued pulled pork, white cheddar cheese curds. This is only on the sweet level. Because if it's only on the sweet level, it means you can take the elevator to get down because you can't walk steps. You're just going to be grabbing your chest.
All of these items look really good. I mean, the Dimebacks.
What do you expect?
Are
they going to send pictures out that says this stuff looks like dog food?
Well,
what do you want?
I mean, the churro dog did nothing for me. This looks much
better.
It didn't
do anything for you? Did you ever get one?
No.
Me either. I mean, I saw
it. Just like sugar overload.
So you would do this curd and Q burger, white cheddar cheese curds, the bed of slaw. I mean, it sounds like a barbecued burger with some slaw on it.
Yeah, look at it. It looks good. I could eat one right now.
Bring it in here, guys. So they've got additional items. So here's my wife. Like the Taste of Chase, they've got a chicken kale Caesar salad. And whenever the words kale comes up, my wife just goes crazy on that. And kale's like eating cardboard. Okay, I'm at the ballpark. This is where I'm going to die someday. I don't want kale. Jared, you do kale. It's just nasty. You don't do kale? Kale's nasty. Oof. God. They have a Carvery cart, a roast tipsy turkey bourbon brown sugar glazed turkey breast. They've got all this stuff that they're bringing to the ballpark because people figured out you go to the ballpark to go be entertained, go enjoy the day, and the game is like third or fourth priority here in Phoenix. It just is. Some of this stuff sounds good. I could see doing an asada dog and a steak and ale tots, going back, sitting at my seat, and then calling paramedics to wheel me out. I can see that. I can't see the last two, the fried chicken bun, the curd and Q burger maybe. I'm a barbecue guy. But so this stuff's coming to the ballpark. Is the team going to be any good? I think they are. There's a narrative out there of were they a one-hit wonder this year? I think that's fair to wonder. One last thought here, and that's Phil Mickelson. So, you know, we're fans here of Phil. We also like seeing guys that continue to play their sport at a high level. We do not like to see athletes that play well beyond their days, and it's just hard to watch them do their thing. I think we have some pictures of Phil. Phil this weekend was able to win out on the tour, and I was caught up in this. It was his first victory on the tour since 2013. 47 years of age and grinding, and Phil Mickelson was able to get a victory. More importantly to me on this is he has now some momentum coming into the Masters. I want to see Phil make a cut and Tiger's playing better. Is there an outside shot of us seeing a Tiger-Phil pairing at Augusta in April? So this was very good news to see Phil Mickelson go out and win a tournament over the weekend. All right, tonight the Suns play Miami. They'll lose, hopefully. They've lost 17 of 19, so they're right on track. The Coyotes are at Edmonton. You realize the Coyotes have won 8 of their last 11? They're figuring it out under Rick Tocchet. There should be the business side of hockey here in Phoenix. I know there's not fans showing up, but youth hockey's growing. Arizona State's going to build a facility for their hockey program. The college hockey has a good pulse, I think, going on here in the Valley. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. Eric, as always, produces Eric Sorensen. Haley Stasiak brought in donuts today, which I'm like a toad up here, and a Jordan Ham as well. Appreciate all of their support. Appreciate you checking us out day in and day out. This repeats all day long. It goes into a podcast. And thanks to our sponsors. Without them, we don't do this. We are self-funded. So please support them. Have a great day.